Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf nun hey, and we're going to pick up right at the top of daf nun hey. So, as you know, in Ezel Mekomen, we've been going through all of the various karbanos and describing the particulars related to each of them. So yesterday we learned the Mishnah that we've moved on now from the Kadshei Kadoshim to talk about things that are Kachim Kalim, and we're talking about two categories of karbanos. One is the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor, which is the shlamim that are brought by the Tzibor, by the full community, and the Ashamos. So we described in the Mishnah what the different Ashamos are. The Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor were as I mentioned yesterday, the two animals that were brought along with the Shtei Alechem, as well as other karbanos, including a chatas, and you'll see in a moment why I referenced the chatas. But in any event, the Gemara begins and wants to know minalan de bayit tzafon. How do I know that it needs to be done in the north? Because the Mishnah says shchitasam betzafon v'kibol damam bechlisharis betzafon, that both the shchita and the kabbalah need to be in the north. Now, as you'll recall at the beginning, that we spent a lot of time at the beginning of the parak talking about the obligation of north, and in fact we learned the obligation of north as relates to an asham. But what the Gemara is asking now is, how do I know by the Shalmei Tzibor, which is the Ksavim, that I'm sorry, the Kvasim that is by the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So the Gemara says, the Tani Rabba Bar Rav Chanan Kamed Rabba, the Rabba Bar Rav Chanan learned in front of Rabba, Vasisem Seir Izim Echad Lechatos. So this pasuk is this pasuk in Vayikra Chav Gimel says Asisem Seir Izim Echad Lechatos Ushnei Chavasim Bnei Shana Lezevach Shlamim. So it says that, talking about on Shavuos, that you need a Sa'ir for a Chatos and you need two Chavasim for the shlamim. So you see a hekesh between the same pasuk, talks about the sa'ir that was a chatas, and it also talks about these two animals that were brought as the shalmei tzibur on Shavuos. So, ma chatas betzafon, af shalmei tzibur betzafon. So since we have a hekesh between the sa'ir and the chvasim, that you see that just like the chatas, the sire, which was a chatas, needed to be in the north, so too did the Shalmei Tzibor need to be in the north. So hopefully all of you should have an immediate question, which the Gemara asks next. Amar Lei Rava, v'chi chatas mehechon lamda. He said, where did we know that a chatas needed to be in the north? Me Ola. We learned it out from Ola. Ola is the place where it expressly says the north, and the chatas was learned from that. And we know, because we're experts in this, davar alamed behekesh, chozer alamed behekesh. Well, this is actually in the form of a question. Can you say that something that was learned with a hekesh, you can go and extend it with another hekesh? We went through the 16 categories, and we knew the first one, and the one we had spent time on even before the 16, was that you cannot learn things out from a double hekesh. So here, what do you have? You have a chiyuv of tzafon, the requirement of north that's written by an ola, and it's extended from ola to chatos via hekesh, and we're trying to use a hekesh to extend it from chatos to the from the sa'ir that was a chatas on Shavuos to the two chavasim that we're talking about now. So you have a double hekesh, and a double hekesh doesn't work. So we say Elam Edetani Rav Mari Breder Rav Kahana. So rather, instead of learning it out from a hekesh between chatas and these two animals brought with the Shtei Alechem, rather learn it out more directly. So where do they learn it out? From the pasuk says, the Gemara says, "Al oseichem ve'azivchei shamechem." Now, actually, this is a pasuk in Bamidbar, which all of you are familiar with, although you might not remember why. Because this is the pasuk that we say on Rosh Hashanah, in Shofros, I think we say, "Uv'yom simchaschem v'mo'adechem v'rashei chadshechem." That when it's your days of joy and your holidays and the Rosh Chodashim, usikatem bechatzotzros al oloseichem yal zivchei shamechem, v'hayu lochem lezikaron lefnei elokechem ani Hashem elokechem. So it says that you blow the chatzotzros. We'll see the significance of that in a moment. Al oloseichem yal zivchei shamechem, on your olos and on your shlamim, right? So now the question is, so how do we know that that's talking? So you see there a hekesh between an ola and a shlamim. Al ola sechevi al zivche shalmechem. That, so you have a hekesh there, which is a direct hekesh between an ola and a shlamim. So therefore, instead of what we were doing, which was we were learning shlamim from chatas and chatas from ola, we're now learning shlamim from ola. But how do we know that this shlamim is a reference to these two animals that we brought on Shavuos? So Rashi explains that when it says zukatem bechatzotzros, that you're going to blow on your trumpets. So what was the business about trumpets? Is because trumpets were used in the shear that accompanied karbanis. And Rashi, starting at the end of the second line, says al karchoch b'shalmei tzibur ksiv. He says it has to be talking about our two animals. She'ein karban yachid ton kli shir. She'ein amrim shir al karban yachid. Kid amr be'erichin. We learned in the Gemara in Erichin that the only time that they said shir on a karban was when it was a karban of the tzibor, not when it was a karban of the yachid. And we finished talking about before that what's the only case we have zivchei shamei tzibor, that we have a shlamim that belongs to the tzibor, is the two animals that were brought on Shavuos. So from the fact that it talks about a shlamim in the context of a pasuk that has clay shear, that has musical instruments, we know that we're talking about the two chvasim of Shavuos. And you see that there's a hekesh because it says al olosechem v'al zivchei shalmechem. So you see a hekesh between ola and shlamim of Shavuos. So therefore, we can learn out directly ma ola kadshei kadoshim as zivchei shalmotzibur kadshei kadoshim. Just like, since we have a hekesh between the ola and the zivchei shamei tzibur, we're gonna say that just like the ola is kadshei kadoshim, so are these two animals brought on Shavuos, and continues the limud ma ola betzafon av zivchei shamei tzibur betzafon. And just like the ola, the carbon ola, is brought in the north, because that's actually, as we said before, the source, the primary source for learning out that it has to be shechted in the north. So from the hekesh, the direct hekesh between the two animals of Shavuos to the halachas of Ola, which is where we know the source of north, that's how we know that the zivchei shalmei tzibur had to be shechted in the north. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So you ended up making a hekesh between Ola and the zivchei shalmei tzibur. But before that, we had made a hekesh between the chatas and the zivchei shalmei tzibur, and we initially tried to use that in a two-step hekesh, which we discredited. But the Gemara now wants to know, okay, but there's still, the pasuk makes a hekesh by talking about the vasisem sir izem echad lechatos u'shnei chvasim b'nei shano zevach shlamim, that there's a hekesh between chatos and shlamim. We didn't need it for what we brought it for before. So what, in fact, do you do? The Gemara says ela hekesha kamol amayasa. What do you use that first hekesh for? So the Gemara says, it's coming to tell you, kichatas, that this shlamim, the zivchei shalmei tzibur, the two animals that were brought together with the shtei alechem, are like a chatas. Ma chatas ene nechelas el zichrei kohuna, av zivchei shalmei tzibur le zichrei kohuna. So it's coming to tell you that just like a chatas that we know is eaten by the zichrei kohuna, by the male kohanim, so too, zivchei shalmei tzibur, are brought by the male kohanim. Amrle Abaye. Abaye says, I have a problem with that limud. He says, I hachi, if that's a valid limud of a hekesh, if you're going to say that when you have a chatas compared to a shlamim, that you should learn from there that it has to be eaten by the kohanim and by the male kohanim. So he says, if so, I should apply similar language, gabe el nazir, by a nazir. So we know, as we're about to bring in the pasuk, that a nazir, when he completed his naziros, he would bring three karbanos. He would bring a ola, a chatos, and the el nazir, which was a shlamim, the chsiv, because it's written, v'hikrev es karbano l'Hashem. He would bring his karban l'Hashem. Keves ben shnasot samim echad l'ola, that he would bring for an ola, v'chavso achas v'shnasot tamim alachatos. So there would be, and there would be one animal brought as a chatos. So we have an ola and a chatos. V'el echad tamim l'shlamim. V'ayel echad tamim l'shlamim. That you would have also an ayel, that you would bring a ram, for shlamim. So you have three karbanos. Now what happens? you have now, in the same pasuk, a reference to chatos, the chatos that's brought by the nazir, and we also have a reference to the shlamim. So he says as follows, hachinami nema the hekesh hakasav lechatos. So why not say that just like we saw that if you have in the same pasuk a chatos and a shlamim are brought together, that you should learn a hekesh and say ma chatos einin echelos elo zechre kuhuna af el nazir nami einin echelos zechre kuhuna. So say, just like a chatas, a regular chatas gets eaten by the male kohanim, so too the el shlamim, the el nazir should get eaten by the zichrei kohuna. But what's the problem with that? So you can give you a little preview. If you look down a few lines, the first wide line, there's a mishnah, which learns hatoda ve el nazir, so it's talking about the el nazir, talks kachim kalim shikitasim b'chol makam azav v'damim tayim shtei matan shein arba, and then it says v'nachalim b'chol ha'ir l'chol adam. It can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim by any person. So we see in the Mishnah that that's not true. An el nazir is not eaten only by the zichrei kuhuna. So if this is a valid form of hekesh, and when you see a chatas and a shlamim together, you should learn that the shlamim has to be eaten by the zichrei kuhuna. If so, we should conclude that the el nazir needs to be eaten by the zichrei kuhuna. But yet, the Mishnah says it gets eaten by anyone. So this doesn't appear to be a good hekesh. So the Gemara says, hachi hashta, how can you compare it? Hasam kivan dechsev v'lokach hakohen es hazroa b'shelo min ha'ayol. So it says that this is a pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Vav. It says that the kohen takes the cooked the zroa b'shelo, the cooked zroa. So this is the front leg of the animal that they would cook it and give it to the kohen. Michlal the kule b'ilam achlile. So the Gemara says as follows, it's not a problem if I learn out, generally speaking, when a chatas and a shlamim are put together, that I should learn, just like the chatas is eaten by the zichrei kohuna, so too the shlamim. But why don't I do that by el nazir? And why by el nazir do we say that it can get eaten by anyone? It's not because my hekesh is wrong. It's because there's a specific pasuk which says that by an el nazir, that you give the cooked front leg to the kohen. So the Gemara is saying the implication of that is everything else other than the cooked front leg, as besides the things that the emurim, or besides the chaz of a shulk that get given to the kohen. But in other words, you basically see that the Torah is saying this specific thing, the zroa b'shela, gets given to the kohen. It implies that everything else is not given to the kohen, and therefore goes to individuals. So there's nothing wrong with my hekesh. It's just that in the case of an el nazir, the Torah came and overrode that hekesh by saying, in fact, it should not be limited to the zichrei kuhuna, but rather should be or could be eaten by anyone. So the Gemara says, if you're right, so fine. So tell me that the Torah excluded the rest of the karban and said that needs to be eaten by that could be eaten by anyone. But yet the Torah signed. It says, but zroa b'shela mia lo lehisacha lo zichrei kuhuna. He says. But, okay, so fine, you're saying most of the carbon goes to regular people. That's what the Torah is coming to tell you. But if you're right that when you have in one pasuk a chatos and a shlamim together, you could learn that the shlamim was only eaten by the zichrei kohuna, so why not say that this zroa b'shela of the el nazir, which does get given to the kohen, so say at least that which is given to the kohen should be able to be eaten only by the male kohanim and not by the family of the kohanim. So the Gemara says, kasha, that's a good kasha. As we've learned many times, most people understand that kasha means that's a challenging question to which we don't, but it's not the same as a tiyufta. It doesn't uproot it. Okay, the Gemara says, v'yibais ema, or I'll tell you another answer. It says, kadshe ikri, kadshe kadashim lo ikru. So he says as follows, that you see that the el nazir is referred to kadshe ikri zori b'shela. He says this cooked front leg is called kadosh. Umidalog siv kadshe kadoshim. Rashi says since it's not written kadshe kadoshim shemamina lo iskish lechatos lahachi that tahave alei chumra the kadosh kadoshim. He says the behedya miyate midach siv kadosh lo siv kadoshim. So he says as follows that from the fact that the Torah generally refers to something that's kadosh kadoshim by that term, and here it only calls it kadosh. So you cannot learn from there that it should be treated like Kodshei Kodeshim. Now Rashi, not Rashi actually brings, he says, well, that's interesting. But if so, then by the Shamei Tzibor, which we do learn out, it's also written Kodesh, and it's not written Kodshei Kodeshim. So Rashi says that's different because it's written Kodesh Lashem. And Kodesh Lashem, it could perhaps, or is perhaps different than is more similar to Kodshei Kodeshim than it is to Kodesh. So in any event, our first answer to why the Zroah B'Sheila doesn't get limited to the Zichrei Kohuna, shouldn't it, because of the Tekish, we said Kasha. The second answer is saying no, because the Torah, by referring to it as Kodesh, as opposed to Kodshei Kodeshim, was coming specifically to tell you that it does not have that limitation generally associated with Kodshei Kodeshim, that it needs to be eaten specifically by the Zichrei Kohuna. So two answers to that question. So the Gemara says, Ela lamai hilchasa iskish. So then, fine. You're telling me that I do not use that hekish of the El Nazir, which was a shlamim to the chatas, to teach us this halacha, because the Torah is specifically telling us. Thank you. The Torah is specifically telling us that I don't use the El Nazir with the chatas, because the Torah is specifically telling us it can be eaten by anyone. So then, what do I do with that hekish that we have the same pasuk that brings the that brings the El Nazir together with the Chatas? Amar Rava. Rava says, Shim Gilach al Achad Mishlashton Yotza, that if he shaves his head on one of the three, he's Yotze. What is this talking about? It's probably useful to look at Rashi, the last Rashi, a little bit of a long Rashi before the Gemara, before the next Mishnah. It says, Shim Gilach al Achad Mishlashton Yotza. He says, V'chatas hu diyalfi mishlamim. He says, what we were thinking until now was the Shlamim was learning something from the Chatas. He says, now it's actually the other way. The Chatas is learning something from the Shlamim. Ma el nazirim hevio yechidi below Chatas v'ola yatza. He says as follows, that the Nazir would bring three karbanos, and he would also shave his head as part of the process. So we say as follows, that if he brought only the Shlamim, and he did not bring the Chatas and Ola, at that point, he can cut his hair. Defsiv, because it's written, Va'acher yishteh ha-nazir yayin, that afterwards the nazir can drink wine. Va'amar mar b'sifri, acher ma'isa yechidi, after one single action. V'hainu shlamim. He says that the Torah learns that after the shlamim has been brought, so at that point, the nazir still needs to bring other karbonas, but he can then proceed. It's the only karbon that precludes him from moving forward, or that was how we would learn initially. Sheikar taglachto shel nazir tluya b'shlamo, shari huzku kulo l'shalach sa'aro tachas hadud. He says, what's the connection? Why specifically the shlamim needs to be done before everything else? Because, before cutting the hair? Because in fact, you see that you're supposed to shech the shlamim, and then you use the hair. The hair of the nazir goes into the fire under the pot. So you see that the shlamim needs to be brought, should be brought before or in connection with the hair. So he says as follows: there's a connection between the hair and between the hair and the shlamim. V'tani b'sifri v'gilach hanazir pesach o'amoid b'shlamim akatsu medaber. So he says as follows, that it says that the Nazir, the way the Pasuk sounds, is that the Nazir should cut his hair at the Pesach of the Ol Moed. That was written by the Shlamim. He says, Kolomer gilucho shel nazir ayidei davar shenemar b'vashachet Pesach Ol Moed. Behindu Shlamim. He says that's really a reference to the Shlamim when it talks about cutting the hair. Why? Because by its reference, it sounds like you should cut the hair at the Pesach Ol Moed. But what we learn in the Sifri, that no, what it means is that that you should cut the hair in connection with the carbon that is brought Pesach Ha'omoid. So the Gemara says, O ein ela kamashmo shi galach Pesach Ha'omoid mamish. Maybe it means literally you should cut the hair at the Pesach Ha'omoid. The Gemara says, Imamar came derech b'zayon. It's not nice to do haircuts at the Pesach Ha'omoid. So what do we see? We see that first of all, there's a connection between the shlamim and cutting the hair, because the shlamim is supposed to get the hair in the fire underneath it. And we see that the cutting of the hair is connected to the carbon that's brought on the Pesach Ol Moed, which is the shlamim. So from that, the Gemara learns over there that once the shlamim is brought,
that you could then cut the hair and do the remaining process. And in fact, the pasuk says he could drink wine. But in any event, you see that the shlamim is the critical first step. So now the Gemara is saying, once I knew that the shlamim was the critical first step, and after the shlamim, you could do these others, the others have to follow, but they're not ma'akiv. So he says, from this fact that there's a hekesh between the shlamim and the chatas, so then it teaches that just like by the shlamim, it's enough to do one karban, and then you'll bring the other two later, but you could cut the hair, etc. So too, if you do any one of the three karbanas, that just like a shlamim, and in fact, you see the pasuk has written in it, the shlamim and the chatas and the ola. So you see that just like the shlamim, once you finish the shlamim, you could cut the hair and do the remaining things, the things that were previously isurim during his nazirus. So too, the same is true. It's not unique to shlamim, even though the limud we learned out was specifically for shlamim, the hekesh between chatas and shlamim tells you that if you bring any one of the three karbanas, you can then cut the hair or drink the wine, etc. Okay, next Mishnah. Hatoda the El Nazir Kadeshim Kalim said a toda, which people brought for Thanksgiving, the four different things, that he was saved from something. The El Nazir that we just talked about, Kadeshim Kalim, they are Kadeshim Kalim, Shchitasim Uchol Makom Azara, they can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. V'daman Toyin Shtei Matano Shein Arba, and this has that two opposite diagonal corners that you would do the two applications of dam that are like four. V'nechalim b'chol ha'ir, it gets eaten it can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. L'chol adam, to any person, meaning even to non-kohanim. B'chol machol, in any form of food preparation, so we've talked about this before, as distinct from a carbon pesach, which we'll see needs to be roasted. L'yom v'layla ar chatzos, for one day and one night, to chatzos, and Rashi points out, betodach siv biyom karbono ye'achel le'yaniach mimeno ad boker. So it says you should eat it on the day of the karbon, but it then proceeds to say you shouldn't leave it over to the next morning, which tells you that you have a day and a night. V'tanya, we learned a braisa, todash shlomov l'rabo shalmei nazir. So it says toda, so that is obviously how we know it for toda. And we had earlier, the Gemara talked about, we had this Gemara on Daf Lamud Vav, that todas shlamav is a hekesh between the shlamim of the nazir and the toda. So you see that both of these karbanas that are being discussed in this Mishnah have the one day and night following ad chatzos. As we've learned, that's to be a siyag. Hamura mehem. Now we're adding a new element to these mishnayos. Hamura mehem ki yotze behen elosh hamurim nechalo kohanim l'shem l'vneim l'avdeim. He says as follows, that which is removed from it, which is given to the kohen, is just like the carbon itself. The fact that you give the kohen his parts of the carbon doesn't then invest it with more kedusha or anything, and rather it can be eaten by him in the same places as long as it's in Yerushalayim. It can be prepared anyway. The only difference is that which is separated to the Kohanim is limited to be eaten by the Kohen and his wife and his children, Lavdeim, and his Evet Kenani, who is part of his property. Okay, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Eschazeyat. So what we're going to talk about here is how do you know that these things, the Shlamim, can be brought, can be eaten in Yerushalayim, anywhere in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Eschazeyat Tnufa, Veshok HaTruma, Tochlu B'makom Tahar. That the breast that gets waved, because there's a waving process, that they wave the breast of the animal, v'eshokatruma, and the thigh that's given to the kohen, tochlu b'makom tahar. You should eat in a place that's tahar. I'm Rav Nechemya. So Rav Nechemya, okay, so now this pasuk is written, as Rashi points out, but Parshas Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, what was going on in Parshas Shmini was talking about the Chanukah Sabayis of the Mishkan. So basically, they were on the end of the, when they were end of the dedication of the Mishkan, they brought certain karbanos, and it says that the tenufa, the chaza v'shok, should be eaten in a makom tahar. So when you say it should be eaten in a tahor place, is that implying that the karbanos that were brought before, for example, the mincha, which we're going to see in a minute, does that mean that that was eaten betumah? So ela tahor michlal shehu tameh. So he says, from the fact that it says tahor, it tells you that it's tameh, which is a lima that only a Talmudist could love, right? It says tahor means tameh. What's going on? Because the pasuk before is written kadosh, right, by the mincha, and here it's saying it's tahor. So tahor implies that it is holy, but it is not kodesh, which implies that there's some element of tumah here. It's still tahor at some level, but it's also tumah at some level. So what does that mean? The Gemara says tahor mitumas mitzora, v'tame mitumas zav. That it's tahor in as much as a mitzora can't be in this area, but it's tameh, this area where it has to be eaten is tahor, that a mitzora can't be there, but it's tameh in the sense that a zav is allowed to be there. V'ezezeh, what area is this that cannot have a mitzora but can have a zav? Zeh machne Yisrael. This is the machne Yisrael. So we're saying as follows. So the pasuk tells us three forms of people that shouldn't be there, that shouldn't be in the kadosh, which is someone who's tamei lemeis, someone who's a zav, and someone who's a mitzora, right? And so we learn as follows that in the times of when Klal Yisrael was in the midbar, we've talked about this before, that you had basically the Mishkan area you had the Mishkan area, which was the center. Around it, you had the Machne Leviya, which was where the Leviim were who were surrounding the Mishkan. And then you had the Klal Yisrael, who were camped all around. And then you had outside of that, right? And so we learned as follows, that a Mitzora, it says he has to be entirely outside. So he was outside the camp altogether. And then we learned that a Zav, who's the next level of most serious separation. So he was allowed to be in the Machne Yisrael, but he couldn't be in the Machne Leviya. And then someone was Tamei Lemeis. We see from Atzmos Yosef that Moshe Rabbeinu had the bones of Yosef together with him. And where did Moshe Rabbeinu reside? He resided in the Machne Leviya. So you see, Machne Leviya can have Tamei Meis, but it can't have someone who's Tamei, has Tumas Zav. Okay, now, in the midbar. What's the parallels in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Heichel was the Kodesh, just like the Ohel Moed. Then the Beis HaMikdash complex was the equivalent of the Machne Leviya, and Yerushalayim was the equivalent of the Machne Yisrael. Right? So now, if we're looking for the area that is both Tamei and Tahar, where it is Tamei in as much as a Zav is able to be there, but it's Tamei that a Zav can be there, but it's Tahar in as much as the Mitzora can't be there, because the Mitzora has to be outside. So what is that? That was the Machane Yisrael. The Mitzora had to be outside altogether, but the Zav could come into the Machane Yisrael. Okay, so we see that we're talking about an area that's okay for a Zav and not okay for a Mitzora. What was that? That was Machane Yisrael. Now, what's the parallel to Machane Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash? Was Yerushalayim. So therefore, you see that a Shlamim can be eaten in Yerushalayim, because you see that when Aaron was told to eat it in a Makom Tahor, meant you could eat it in the Machane Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Tahor mitumas Zav, v'tamei mitumas Meis, ve'ezezeh zeh Machane Leviya. He says, well, wait. Maybe a shlamim can only be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash complex. Why? Because you're telling me that it says b'makom tahar in a place that's tahar, which means it is tahar in one sense and tameh in another. So why not say that it's talking about a Machne Leviya, which is tameh in the sense that a tameh mace can be there, but it is tahar in the sense that neither a zav nor a mitzora could be there. In other words, if you're saying you have a limud that says a place that's both tahar and tameh, so how do you know that it should be? How do you know it should be Machne Yisrael? Maybe it should be Machne Leviya. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'achaltem also b'makom kadosh. So it says that you should eat it Osa, it, b'makom kadosh, what is this referring to? This is referring to the mincha that they had brought earlier. So that implies that you have a flour offering. This flour offering should be eaten kadosh, in kadosh. Osa b'makom kadosh, l'acheres b'makom kadosh. This tells you that this bread offering of the mincha, or the flour offering in the mincha should be brought in the makom kadosh, and other ones should not. So afke l'machan alaviya. So therefore, the other kinds of flour offerings, which include the Todah brought its 40 loaves of bread, and the El Nazir brought 20 loaves of bread, so that implies that the Todah and El Nazir cannot be in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh, so that had to go out to the Machane Leviyah. So, okay, so now, without having resorted to the pasuk that says makom tahar, just from the fact that it says that you should eat the mincha in a makom kadosh, I know that the mincha gets eaten in the makom kodesh, that the todah and the el nazir get eaten in the machane leviyah, right? That's, I know that from the pasuk, yochatam also b'makom kodesh. Hadar k'siv, but then it's subsequently written b'makom tahar, which tells you that it's a level beneath. So in other words, we heard before that tahar means tahar in one sense, tamei in another sense. So you see that it is loosening the restrictions. So therefore, the pasuk, yochatam also b'makom kodesh, puts the todah and the el nazir in the Machane Leviyah. Now that you add in the words b'makom tahar, it takes it out one more level to the Machane Yisrael. Afke l'Machane Yisrael. It takes it out to the Machane Yisrael. That's a bias limud. That's how he learns that it gets eaten, that the todah and el nazir can be eaten, and for that matter, all shlamim and all kachim kalim are learned out, can be eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's a bias source. Rav Amar Rava says, Osab makom kodesh v'lacheres makom kodesh. So it says by the mincha needs to be eaten in a makom kodesh. So the way Rava understands that afke legamri. So therefore, from that pasuk alone, I would know that it's the mincha that gets eaten in the makom kodesh, and everything else, including the todah and the el nazir, can be eaten anywhere. Can be eaten anywhere you like. Hadar kasav rachmana tochlu b'makom tahar ayla l'machane Yisrael. So he's not arguing on the din. He's saying you can learn. He's just saying that kadosh tells you that the mincha is kadosh. Everything else is outside entirely. But since it says b'makom tahar, that it's taking it up a level and bringing it into Machane Yisrael, into Yerushalayim. So he agrees with Yerushalayim. He just gets to there in a different place. I guess that Rava felt it's kind of funny that you look at the word b'makom tahar to take it down a level. It seems to be something taking it up a level. So he's saying kadosh, the negative inference of Kadosh puts it outside entirely, and Makom Tahar brings it back into Machane Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Ayla L'Machane Leviya. He says, okay, but if you have Makom Tahar, let's say you're right, that Kadosh, the negative inference, puts the Todah and the El Nazir outside altogether, meaning even outside Yerushalayim, and then Makom Tahar brings it back in, but why are you saying it brings it back into Machane Yisrael? Maybe it should bring it into Machane Leviyah, and you would have to eat it in the Beis HaMikdash complex, and not just in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, L'chod ma'alinon, l'tarti lo ma'alinon. So he says as follows, that we can bring it up one level, but not two levels. So therefore, once Kadosh puts us outside altogether, Makom Tahar brings us up one level into Yerushalayim, into the Machane Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, sorry, that doesn't work. He's saying, if you're telling me that a limud of a pasuk can only move you one level, you have a problem, because you had Kadosh, you said the Mincha is Kadosh, and I'm going to exclude the Todah and the El Nazir to put it outside altogether, right? So where you jumped multiple levels there to take it out. So why are you saying that when Makom Tahar brings it back in, it can only move one level? That's the first problem. So this is written by the psukim. We say lo sucha lecho b'sharecha masa degan chasirashcha v'itzarecha b'choris b'karecha v'tzoynecha v'chol nidarecha shetidar v'nidvasecha trumas yadecha. So it tells you both by a b'char and by meiser and by nidarim and nidavos that were shlamim, that all of them, it said, you cannot eat them in your gates. Why? Because you have to eat them in your shalayim. So you see, what was the havamina you had? In other words, if you're saying kadosh tells you that it takes it outside altogether, you see from the pasuk that you cannot eat it outside. So we would know it can't be going outside of Yerushalayim, and we would know it's Yerushalayim. We wouldn't need the pasuk of makom tahar to take you into Yerushalayim. El machvarta kedabaya. Because of these two questions, A, that if you're telling me it can't jump two levels to go up into Machane Levia, why was it able to jump down multiple levels? And also, you know, what was the Havamina that you needed a Pasuk to take it out of the area outside of Yerushalayim into Yerushalayim or into Machane Yisrael? Okay, so we go with Abaya's version and not with Rava. Okay, says the Mishnah, Shlamim Kache Kalim, so regular Shlamim, talking about something that someone brings, that a Yachid brings, so we're not talking anymore about Shalmei Tzibor, but a Shlamim or Kachim Kalim, Shechitasim Chol Makam Azara, can be shechted anywhere in the Azara, not just in the north. V'damon Shtei Matan Shein Arba, it has the two, that is four blood applications. V'necholim B'chol Oir, it's eaten in all of the city of Yerushalayim, L'chol Adam, for any person, B'chol Machol, in any form of food preparation, L'shnei Yamim V'layla Echod. So the Pasuk is very clear, by a Shlamim, unlike everything we've been learning until now, which has to be eaten by the night that follows the day it was brought. In this case, you have the following day as well. So if someone brought it on a Monday, they could eat it Monday night, and all day Tuesday, till the end of the day Tuesday, but not Tuesday night. Hamura mehem, that which is separated from the shlamim and given to the Kohen, ki yotze behem, has similar rules as the regular shlamim, elosh hamurim, nechol kohanim, l'shem l'vneim l'avdam. But the distinction of that which is separated to the Kohen is that since it was given to the Kohen, it can only be eaten by him and his wife and his children and his vadim kinanim. Okay, says the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, v'shachat tu pesach o amoid, v'shachat oso l'fnei o amoid, v'shachat oso l'fnei o amoid. So basically, you have, as we've encountered multiple times, that there's multiple parshas written by the shlamim. So as Rashi says, shalosh parshas for shlamim. There's three parshas written by shlamim. Chada b'ben bakar. One is if you bring a ben bakar. V'chada b'ben kesef. If you bring a kesef. V'chada be'ez with a goat. So become okay. So he's saying three times it's written that you should bring the carbon. You should shecht it by the Ohel Moed. But the distinction is, by the first one, it says, v'shachat tu pesach Ohel Moed, that you should do it at the doorway of the Ohel Moed. The next two say, v'shachat oso lefnei Ohel Moed, v'shachat oso lefnei Ohel Moed. So it switches the language from pesach Ohel Moed to lefnei Ohel Moed. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, lahachshir es kol haruchos bekadshim kalim. So he says, this is coming to tell you that by kadshim kalim, that you can go in every direction. Now, what is this going to mean? We're going to see this in more detail, but it means that when you're, let's say you are standing at the Heichal looking out to the Mizbeach, anything you could see, which is basically everything from the front of the Ulam to the other side, till you get to the Ezra's Nashim, I guess, that you would, anywhere there that's within sight of the Ulam, you can bring the carbon that's a shlamim. Because remember, you don't require north by a shlamim because it's kachim kalim. All right, we're going to get into this in more detail in the Gemara, but okay, so let's go. And then he says, kavachomer. He says, kavachomer letzafon. He says, umak kadshei kadashim shlo hukshuru b'chol aruchos hukshuru b'tzafon. Now he's going to try and prove that you're able to bring kachim kalim in the north. He says, because if kachim kalim, which could not be, kachim kadashim, which could not be brought anywhere in the area over there other than the north of the Mizbeah, the north part, he says, kachim kalim, shehokshur b'chol aruchos, enodin shehokshur b'tzafon. He says, so if there's more kedusha of the north, that's the only place you could bring kachim kadashim, right? And you could not bring kachim kadashim in any other part. So then, if kachim kalim can be brought in any other part, for sure they should be able to be brought even in that place that has more kedusha. Now, why does he need to bring a kavachomer at all? So Rashi says because he's trying to foreclose what Rabbi Eliezer is about to say. So Rabbi Eliezer says lo nemra kasuv elo hachshir tzafon. He says the reason you have that extra pasuk is in order to say that. That you can actually shecht in the north. Okay? So what's the difference so far is that the Tanakhama was saying, I know from a Kavachomer that you can shecht in the north, and I'm using the Pasuk, Pesach Ohel Moed, to tell me anything that's in front of the Ohel Moed. Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing that you can shecht anywhere in front of the Ohel Moed, including the Tzafon, but he requires a Pasuk to tell it to him. He doesn't buy the Kavachomer. So what's the reason? Because he had a Kavachomer which would have told him that you cannot Shecht Kachim Kalim in the north. So therefore, he needed the pasuk to tell you you can. And this is going to become more clear when we get to Amud Beis. He says, "Valo dinhu." It's a kavachomer. Uma kachim kalam shehochshur b'chol aruchos olhochshur mekamon eto kadosh kadoshim. He says that he understands that it is not that the area that's north is more kadosh. Rashi says it's on Amud Beis. He says, "Who said?" In other words, where is this idea that the north is more kadosh? Rather, the way he understands it is that there is space designated for each of the karbanos. There's a space that's made for kadshei kadoshim, and there's a space that's made for kachim kalim. Which is more? Which happens more in the Beis HaMikdash? Kachim kalim. So they assign more space to kachim kalim and less space to kadshei kadoshim. So what he's saying is as follows: I might think that if kachim kalim have all of this space that is given lo hochshir mekomon etzel kadshei kadoshim, so he says kadshei kadoshim shelo hochshir elo betzafon eno din shelo hochshir mekomon etzel kadshim kalim. He says as follows that if I designated space for kadshim kalim that you see kadshei kadoshim are not allowed to be shechted there because we see that kadshei kadoshim can only be shechted in the north and it can't be shechted in the area that's been designated for the kachim kalim. So then he says that for sure, this much smaller space that's been designated for the kachim kadoshim, you should not be able to shecht kachim kalim there. So he understands that this has nothing to do with added kedusha. It has to do with making space for everything. So there's a certain amount of space, a smaller amount of space for kachim kadoshim, and you see the kachim kadoshim aren't allowed to go into the kachim kalim space. So then the kachim kalim surely should not be able to go into the smaller kachim kadoshim place. So Rabbi Eliezer is basically saying, I have a kavachomer that would tell me I'm not allowed to bring kachim kalim in the north. Hence, I bring one of these three psukim to tell me I can. Versus the Tanakhama took it for granted that of course you can do it in the north, and therefore he uses the pasuk to say that it covers the whole area. We'll see that they don't actually disagree in halacha, just in how they learn things. Okay. So the Gemara, so he says, because I might make that kavachomer, tamalomer, oh, omoed, that it says, Pesach omoed, to tell me that, that I can, in fact, bring it even in the north. Alright, so what's going on here? The Gemara says, but my kamifli, what's going on in this brisa? So we say as follows, Tanakama sabar, the Tanakama holds, tlasa krai ksivi. He says there's three psukim written, Pesach omoed, lefnei omoed, lefnei omoed. We said this before, right? So chad legufei, dinibai Pesach omoed. One is coming to tell you that you need a Pesach omoed. That's why he uses the language of Pesach omoed instead of lefnei omoed. What's it telling you? It's telling you if there's no door to the Beis HaMikdash, then you can't bring the carbon. Why? What does it mean to be no door? So Rashi says three instances. One is by the Beis HaMikdash if the door is closed. One is in the Mishkan if the Kohanim hadn't set it up yet. And one is in the Mishkan before they traveled if the Kohanim have taken it down already. So basically it's telling you if there's no Pesach HaMoed, then there's no carbon shlomim brought. The Chad Lahachshir Tzadin. The Tanakhama understands that one pasuk comes to tell you everything. If you're standing at the ulam door, everything in front of you is area that you could check the kachim kalim. The chad lifsul tzidei tzadim. And one is coming to say that you can't have the tzidei tzadim. What is the sides of the sides? Basically, when you looked out from the way Rashi understands it, there's different versions of this, but the way Rashi understands, even Rashi himself possibly has a different version, but if you're standing in the ulam and looking out, so you see everything, the area you're able to shecht in. But if you look along the walls, there were rooms that came off of that area. So you might think that since you don't take Pesach Omoid literally, which means that only what's immediately in front of the Pesach, but rather you say it covers everything you can see, so I might think it might include also those rooms. So says the third Pesach, no, you can't go in those rooms. You can only do it in the area in front of the ulam. And he holds you don't need a pasuk for the north because he says it's a kavachomer because he understands that it's kedusha, that it's limited because of the kedusha of kodesh kodeshim and has to be limited to the north. But the kachim kalim, which has less kedusha, can be anywhere. Rabbi Eliezer, Sava Rabbi Eliezer, uses the three psukim as follows. Chad legufei denibay Pesach Olmoid. One comes to tell you you need a door to the Olmoid, and if you don't have a door, nothing doing, the carbon doesn't work. Vechad lahachshir tzafon. One, as we said before, he needed a pasuk to teach you that you could bring it in the north, because otherwise he would have applied his kavachomer to say you can't bring it in the north. Vechad lahachshir tzadin, vechad lahachshir tzadin. And the other one, the third pasuk, comes to tell you everything you see in front of you when you're standing at the door of the ulam. So because he used an extra pasuk The Tanakhama had a pasuk to tell him tzidet stadim, those little chambers. He used that pasuk to tell you you're allowed to shecht in the tzafon. So he says, I didn't need a pasuk to tell me for those chambers, because that's not considered in the courtyard, that's Pesach HaOmoed. So what do you have here? You have that they're agreeing in the halacha, they're just arguing about how you get there. Maishna hacha deksid Pesach HaOmoed, maishna hasam deksid lefnei HaOmoed. So he says, what's the difference? Why did it say Pesach HaOmoed by one and lefnei HaOmoed by the other two? So it really comes to tell you what I just told you. Kamash Malan, could Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the fact that it said Pesach HaOmoed was coming to tell you that there needs to be a Pesach, which is what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Dom Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Shlomim sheshachtun kodim sheyifsichu delasas ha-heichal psulin. That if you shecht shlomim before you open the doors of the heichal, the carbon is pasul. Shenemer v'shachatu Pesach HaOmoed, bizman shehu pasuach v'lo bizman shehu na'ol. That you have to bring the carbon when there's a Pesach. And Rashi points out a Pesach is an opening. It's not enough to be a doorway with a door, because that would be a deles. If it says shachatu Pesach HaOmoed, you have to be shechting it in an opening of the HaOmoed, which means that the doors to the Beis HaMikdash, to the HaOmoed, needed to be open. It couldn't be closed. And that's why I said Pesach HaOmoed, to tell you that your carbon is no good if you don't have Pesach HaOmoed. Itmar Nami, this is to help me that you just repeat things. Itmar Nami, Amr Mar Ukva, Bar Chama, Amr Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Shlomim Sheshachatan, Kodam Sheyifsechu, Delasos HaHecha Psulun, the Shlomim that you shecht before you open the doors of the Hechel are Pasol, Shenemar Veshachatu Pesach HaOmoed, that you shecht it at the doorway of the HaOmoed, Bizman Shepesach HaHechel, Pasuach, Veloi Bizman Shepesach Shehu No'o. Then not when it's open, not when it's closed. So exact same thing he's saying. And now it's going to help me further. But my Rav Masni, Hachi Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rav Ashi, Shlomim Sheshachtun Kodem Sheyivsechu Delasas HaHecha Psulin, that if you shecht the carbon before the doors get open, it's pasul. Uve Mishkan, and in the Mishkan, this is where Rashi knew what he said before, Kodem Sheyamidu Leviyim Es HaMishkan, Alachar Sheyifreku Leviyim Es HaMishkan, before the Leviyim built or constructed the Mishkan, or before they dissembled it, if you brought a carbon shlomim or perhaps any other carbon psula in their psula, pasul. Okay, there we are. Says the Gemara, pshita mugaf kina odami vilon mai. So the Gemara says it's pasha to me that if the door is closed, it's like it's locked. This has very interesting applications in the halacha of yichud with the isha about whether the door needs to be locked or not. But obviously, no time. So the Gemara says it's clear to me that if the door is closed, it's like it's locked. But what about if you have a curtain there? And in fact, in the HaOmoed, there was a curtain. So Amar Rav Zeira, who atzmor in inasis ela kepesach pasuach. So he says that a curtain is really just there. You need a pesach pasuach, and it is a pesach pasuach. The curtain is just there for privacy. That's not really a door. Now the Gemara asks as follows: Govha mai. What happens if there's something blocking the entranceway? So you have a Pesach HaOmoed, but there's something in front of it that's blocking. What's the halacha? Tashma, come in here from the Braisa as follows. The sign, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Amar. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shnei pishpishin hayu bebeis ha-chalifos v'govan shmonam. Kedei lahachshir sa'azara kulu l'achidus katshe kadashim l'shchitas katshim kalam. So what's going on here? So if you look as follows, if you look at that little graph in the Gemara, you'll see that when you go into the ulam went to your right and left, 15 amos either direction, tesvav amma, either direction before you got to the heichal. So the heichal was much narrower than the ulam, right? Now, the way we're learning as follows, if you see those two things, it shows on top of those extensions out of the ulam, there's something called a pishpesh. Now the pishpesh was basically a little opening that went to the things that are on the right and left of the heichal, right? So what was the point of that? That was the Beis HaChalifos. We know that when you talk about a guy who shechts, you say he has the chalif, the knife. So this is where they used to keep the knives there, right? And the point was as follows, that they had two little doors there. What was the purpose of those doors? Is because they wanted to make the area on the right and left of the heichal somewhere where you were allowed to shecht and call it Pesach HaOmoed. How did that work? Because Rashi points out, according to this man d'Amar, the ulam counts as the HaOmoed, and therefore, if you opened up two little entranceways there at the back where it says pishpesh, so then it covers all of those areas behind the HaOmoed, behind what we were the area we were talking about before, because there's an opening, and therefore the pishpesh, these little windows were okay. But it says that the pishpesh had 8 amos. So the Gemara is saying
My lav deka kamayu shmona. Doesn't that mean that, I'm sorry, so that's what the Brisa was saying. That's how you're able to eat kachay kachashim at the shecht kachim kalam there is because that's considered pesach ha'omoid because it has an opening through this pishpesh. My lav deka kamayu shmona. Doesn't this mean that there was a pile of something, eight amos, in front of those doors, and yet we say that it counts to make it Pesach HaMoed? So the Gemara says, lo, the gavu ninu shmona, that the doorways themselves were eight amos tall, not that there was something blocking, so no raya. The Gemara says, meisvei kol ha'sharim shayusham govan esr nama v'rochman es amos. How can you tell me that the doorways themselves were eight amos tall? We see that all the doorways in the base of Mikdash are 20 by 10. So the Gemara says, Pishpish and Shani. He says that these little doors were different because their purpose wasn't to be a doorway. Their purpose was just to open up those space, in order to say that you should be able to call that Pesach Ol Moed. So I'll have to pick up here, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow.